see here. Let's do verse 31. Genesis 1, 31. I guess I'm supposed to get wired up here. Genesis 1, 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we open up your Holy Scriptures again tonight that you'll help us to understand and rightly divide the word of truth and see what great blessings you have for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you notice here, chapter 1 is we have the creation story in Genesis. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. All of creation was finished by the end of day 6. There was no more creation after that. Everything that was going to be made was made. All the host. That includes all the angels. You know, there's a little folklore out there that, you know, babies become angels, and when the bell sounds, the angel gets their wings, and, you know, different things like that. But everything was finished on day 6. There is nothing else made after, or created. There's nothing else created after that time. But I want us to look at something here. We're going to look at just a few verses here in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to go over and we're going to start with verse 4. In verse 1, on the first day, he makes light. And he divides the light from the darkness. And he calls the light day, and he calls the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. But here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And this is the first day. Look down at verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. This is your third day. Look at verse 12. The earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. That's also part of the third day. So on the third day, he says it was good what he saw twice. Now on the third day, he made life. The number 3 represents life in the Bible. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. Number 3 represents life in the Bible. Look down in verse 18. He talks about the sun and the moon and those things. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now remember in verse 1, he made light. Now over here in verse 4, he makes the sun and the moon and the stars. And those on day 4, I'm saying. He made all these things on day 4. Each day had to be 24 hours. If it was not, the plants would not have survived. Because the sun and the moon. Look in verse 21. He talks about the waters. And God created great whales and every living thing that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21. I already did that one, didn't we? Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Also on this day, he makes man. And then verse 31, it says, and behold, it was very good. Everything, all the other things, he saw it was good. But down in verse 31, he looks at all 6 days of creation, everything that he had done, and he said it was very good. When God does something, it is good. When God makes something, it is good. When God does something, He does it right. You've seen the old bumper sticker or the t-shirts or different things like that? It says, God don't make no junk. Or one of them says, God's still working on me, be patient. But you see, God don't make no junk. As we look at the world today, it doesn't appear to be quite that good. It's not what it was when He made it. So where did, for lack of a better term, where did this junk come from that's in the world? Sin. Bottom line is sin. Let's go to Revelation. I want to share something within Revelation 21. Almost, I think there's only 22 chapters in Revelation. Revelation 21 and 1. Revelation 21 and 1. All the way back in the back of your Bibles. Almost to the end of it. Now, where we're at here in the timeline as far as things go in the Bible, the rapture has already taken place. The tribulation times have already been taking place. The battle of Armageddon has already been taking place. Satan has been bound and locked up out in the bottomless pit. Then he was let out for a little season. Now he's in the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. The great white throne of judgment has taken place. Death and hell has been cast in the lake of fire. And then in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 1, as John is telling us what he saw, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." God made earth, and all the animals, and all the creation, and all the hosts thereof, and it was very good. Since that time, and now, and into the future, till we get to Revelation chapter 22, which is in the future, hasn't happened yet, it continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse. It gets so bad that He does away with it. No more place. It's not found anywhere. I don't know where it goes. He just gets rid of it. They're talking about the heaven, the solar system, and the earth, the atmosphere, and all those things. What He's talking about. He just gets rid of those things. He says a new heaven and a new earth. A new atmosphere and a new earth. Because there's a first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. The first heaven's the atmosphere. The second heaven is the solar system. And the third heaven is where God is. So we get a new heaven and a new earth. Brand new. You know why? Because the other one has become junk. Cannot be fixed. Cannot be repaired. Cannot be refurbished. Cannot be. It has to be all new. That is the same way it is with you. That is the same way that it is with you. Go to John chapter 3, Gospel of John. Excuse me. John chapter 3. When Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, a Jew, came to Jesus at night, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest, except God be with him. Right here in verse 3, Jesus goes right to the heart of the problem. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he goes on, and Nicodemus gets confused and can't understand. What am I going to do? Enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again? And he says, no, we're talking spiritual to you. That which is spirit, that which is water, that which is flesh. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We have become so corrupt that God cannot fix it, your soul. It is dead, it trespasses and sins. The soul that sinneth it shall surely die. It can't be fixed. The only thing that can happen is you get born again. A new birth, a new beginning. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're using a lot of verses tonight, but I want you to see how all this fits together. 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You're not all going to die, but you're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For a person to be saved, they have to be born again. A new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, all things new. Has to be born again. Just like this earth. Has to have a new earth. Has to have a new birth. You have to have a new birth. And to be on this new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, adorned as a bride, you have to have a new body. Can't be fixed. It's wore out. And the more years you get on your calendar, you start understanding that more and more. That it is wore out. But God does not make any junk. The only thing that has corrupted what God has made is sin. Sin corrupts, sin destroys, sin defiles. There is not one sin that you can name that does not affect you physically in some way or another also. Worry, all kinds of things, they affect you physically too. Sin destroys. The goal of the devil is to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, you're in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you'll come to Galatians, then you'll come to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. We're going to look at that first because I want you to see where we're headed. Then we're going to come back and look at verse 9, 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God does not make any junk. When you are born again, you are born unto good works. In Ephesians 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only thing that can save a soul is faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to achieve salvation. There is nothing you can do to make yourself a new creature. There's nothing you can do to make yourself brand new. That's why Nicodemus asked, can I go a second time in my mother's womb? I mean, he was willing to be born again, but there was no way to do it. It's impossibility. He could not come back and be a little baby again. And we had a lady at our other church one time that she had a lot of trouble with a boy. He was about yay big, not this big. He was young, called him Fridge. Kind of looked like one. And they had a few, what we call intense fellowship discussions. And she says, it's not too late for a postnasal abortion. It's not too late for that, she said, just kind of, threatening the kid and stuff. But you see, you cannot become a little baby again in diapers. You can't do that. That's an impossibility. That's what Nicodemus says. Can I enter a second time? You can't do that. But he said you must be born again spiritually. So your soul is brand new. Brand spanking new. And God don't make no junk. But you were saved, verse 10, unto good works. See, God says, well, when they see verse 9, well, he didn't call it verse 9, but when they see that, they're going to say, well, I don't have to do nothing. I'm saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But then God comes in and covers it and says, no, you're saved to do something good. Doing something good doesn't save you, but you're saved to do something good. People that are trying to work their way to heaven by doing good things work harder at it than the people that love Jesus. The people that love Jesus and know that He saved them out of grace and faith and died for them and rose from the grave and gave them a free gift, and they know Jesus is in their heart, they know they're going to heaven, they don't do as much as the people that's trying to get to heaven. Why? Because we're lazy. What got born again? Your soul. Whatever is born of God does not sin, it says. Your soul is what was born again. And now that you have it, you should really appreciate what you have. Many times we need to be reminded of what we're saved from and what we're saved to. Those people that are working their way to heaven, and there is a lot of very nice people. They're good people. They're not some bad, terrible, wicked people. They're good people. But they're not trusting in Jesus.
And nobody is as good as Jesus. And Jesus is what we're compared to. So the only way to get to heaven by the way you live is to be as good as Jesus. So that means you're perfect. You may know somebody that thinks they are, but I guarantee you they're not. Now, you have a new soul if you're saved. And it's born again. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. It is the earnest of your salvation. The Holy Spirit that you have dwelling in you. It says we have this earthly treasure, this heavenly treasure in earthly vessels. Ziploc bags are, used to be Tupperware. I guess that's too popular anymore. I guess it still is. You remember, they used to have a commercial. I don't know if they still do it or not. That they would have this guy in this room. And they'd have a whole bunch of bees or wasps or something. And they said, which bag will you trust? And they have the guy in this room with these two little Ziploc bags, you know. And one of them was the one they was advertising, whatever it was, you know. He says, well, I'm going to take that one. Well, then why do you buy this one? Because I don't want to get stung by these over here and this one. What are you trusting to get you to heaven? What are you trusting to get you to heaven? The most precious possession you have is your soul. It says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your own soul is worth more than the whole world. It is very precious. What are you doing with it? Who are you giving it to? Who are you trusting it with? Are you positive? Beyond the shadow of a doubt. No questions at all. No matter what happens anywhere, anytime, in any way. That you know that you'll wake up with Jesus. If your salvation is not that real, then you're trusting something else. It has to be real enough to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. If it's not, then you still have a junky soul. And I guarantee you, there is no junk going to be or in heaven. In Revelation, let's see here, which one do I want to use here? Yes, Revelation chapter 21 again, verse 8. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is no junk in heaven. In Revelation 22, 15, almost at the very end of the Bible, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There's no junk in heaven. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him hear say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There is an appeal for salvation through the whole Bible. Somebody asked, well, this is the end. There is no more grace. There is no more people getting saved by this time in history. So why is it put here at the end of Revelation? Because it was meant for us to read today. There's going to come a time when no one will have an opportunity to be saved again. After the rapture and those things. There will come a time when you will not have a chance to be saved, even if you live past that time. Because when you die, it's all over. No more decision making, no more chances, no more second chances, nothing. It's over with. Some people, a son was talking about his class he's teaching. And he's got the high school class he's teaching in Sunday school. And they ask him, well, can't we just wait till we see the Antichrist and all those things happening and then get saved? No. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches against that. Who is going to wait until they see judgment coming and then get saved? I don't want to do it now because I want to live for myself and I want to do everything I want to do myself right now. And then when I see it's getting close to the end, then I'll get saved. You think God's going to let that happen? Send a strong delusion so if they'll believe a lie. It's not going to happen. When God talks to you, He talks to you now. The reason He talks to you now is because He's wanting an answer now. If God wants an answer next week, He'd talk to you next week. As a Christian, you're created, born again, unto good works. What have you been doing since you got saved? Have you been working unto good works? If not, then you've been sloughing off. And how much do you love Jesus that laid down His life for you? And number two, if you're not saved, if there hasn't been a time that you ask Jesus to come into your heart. I'm not saying when you came to church or got baptized or did this or did that. Those are all things you do. There has to be a point in your time when you actually ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. See what God has for us here tonight. Don't say, I'm going to do this later, or I'm going to get this fixed later, or I'm going to get better with this later, or whatever. Don't try and say that. Don't try and claim those things. I'm going to get well, then I'm going to go see the doctor. No. You go to the doctor while you're sick. You go to Jesus while you need some help, so He can make you well. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you'll take this time, that you'll take these words, that you'll take your scriptures and burden our souls and encourage us. And if there's one here that's not saved, that tonight will be their night. We ask this in Jesus' name.